Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 1st, 2017, which means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for October 2017. And if, as always, any questions or comments, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all your emails. The Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. And without further ado, let's get down to it. Mickey, hey, it's good to talk to you. It was great to see you at the New Orleans Investment Conference. And good to have you back on the show.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Good to be back.
Hey, so the markets last month, you know, you think they can't get any more absurd. Well, before we get all into it, I'm just going to tease you out there that there's one market that far, far outperformed all the others and put in a change for the month, just for the month, mind you, of 54.6%. We're not going to tell you what it is till we get to it, but you won't be surprised. And so getting back to more mundane markets, Mickey, looking at the stock markets, I mean, this was a blowout month, yet another one.
Yeah, we had record highs all month across the board, driven by tech, finance, energy sectors, strong Q3 earnings, rumors of tax reform if Congress can get anything done, stronger U.S. dollar, et cetera. The Dow was up almost 4% to 23,377. S&P 500 set an all-time high at 25,75, up 2%. NASDAQ really was the big performer, surging to 67.28 for a 3.6% increase. And trailing all these, once again, was the Russell 2000, although it did set an all-time high at 1503, but only up 0.8% over the month.
Yeah, and I just want to make one comment about the NASDAQ, because, you know, we track this stuff, Mickey, right? And the NASDAQ, May 31st, 16, closed at 49.48. It is now up at 67.28, which is a damn near 35% rise in what's basically a little less than a year and a half. That is remarkable.
Well, and we should also point out that it set its all-time high at the end of July of 2016. So it's up something on the order of, I'm doing the math in my head, 25% since then.
Yeah.
Record highs month after month after month.
Yeah, it's and no wonder. No wonder when we look at the VIX, which we will in a couple of minutes, you know, you see volatility just falling by the wayside. So then we go over to our neighbors to the north, their markets again.
Well, yeah. So the Toronto Stock Exchange finally broke out of its doldrums and set a record high, closing high at 16,026, up 2.5% over a month. A couple of months ago, we commenting it was one of the few negative indexes Leverage. For the year. Now it's in positive territory, led mainly by the finance and energy sectors as oil prices have surged and they've had a couple of rate increases in Canada. Banks doing very well there. Meanwhile, the venture exchange remains range bound, closed at 785, up 0.5%, a total of 4 points. Volumes have picked up quite nicely, but we're in the middle of tax loss selling season here, so we don't expect that index to go much of anywhere through the end of the year. Meanwhile, very strong emerging market indexes. Worldwide stock markets are surging. The MSCI also in record territory with a close at 11.25, up 4%. Over the month, led by China. You already mentioned the VIX. We spent the entire month in record low territory, about half the day closed, but below a VIX index of 10, ended the month at 10.18. You know, this index was started in 1990, so 28-year lows here.
Hey, pretty soon they'll just have to get rid of it because we're living in a perfect world with no volatility, right?
Right, Kerry.
Pardon my sarcasm. Hey, so let's switch gears, go to the money rates. Looks like the dollar was down but not out as proof.
No, the dollar actually gained a point and a half over the month, closed at 94.55 for a change. An up of 1.5%. You know, it went below 93, actually touched the low 92s, if memory serves, but it surged since then. Very strong dollar, and we'll talk about this a little bit later as it affects metals. So a nice month for the U.S. dollar, as opposed to what Trump really wants, which is a weak dollar. I think we'll see that with his, he's going to nominate his Fed chairman, I think, tomorrow. So meanwhile, of course, that was negative for the euro. And also Draghi is hinting or has confirmed, I'm not really sure which right now, that bond buys will continue in the eurozone. It closed at 116, down 1.4%. 10-year treasury hit a two-month high. Market made a lot about this, but it touched 2.40%, closed at 2.38 for a 2.1% rise. And you know, you get Yellen coming on the airwaves every couple of weeks and talking in circles about the economy and whether there's going to be a December rate rise at this point. I doubt it. And I'll let you lead in with the big winner.
Big winner, which was a Bitcoin closing price of $64.39, up 54.6%. And don't ask me why, other than I guess more people are getting on the bandwagon, the greater Chinese fool theory, take your pick. Or maybe there really is something to the cryptocurrencies that all of you out there are missing. I'll let you decide that one. But Mickey, I mean, when you see that kind of volatility, it's impossible for something that volatile to actually be a currency, because from day to day, how do you make a contract for the future? And the thing could be up 50% in 1 month, which means the person buying, their cost went up 50%, and the person selling, their effective revenue went up 50%. I mean, you can't conduct business. I mean, people bitch, Mickey, when the dollar, when mainstream currencies go down a couple percent in a year.
Talk about the volatility of the dollar. Once again, you know, I refuse to accept anything as a currency that requires an electronic connection to be fungible.
Yeah, that goes to the issue of durability. Like, we have an EMP attack in the U.S. Well, guess what? Your gold and silver and your greenbacks are still going to work. As far as all your electronic money, and that goes for what the Fed has as well, what the banks store, well, unless they're in super hardened silos someplace, they're kind of worthless as well. And certainly
Bitcoin's gone.
And I'm not speculating. I don't really believe it's going to happen. I think it's a very theoretical attack, more so than one that can be done practically. But it does illustrate the example that digital dollars and digital currencies are not durable or potentially non-durable over the long term. Well, anyway, let's get to my favorite part of the report, and that is precious metals. It's like not a heck of a lot.
Mixed bag, but basically gold was lower on U.S. dollar strength. You know, gold was well above what actually touched 1350 in early to mid-September. It's been lower since then as the dollar started to surge. Closed the month at 1270, lost $9 on the month. Silver gained 5 cents on the month, closed at 1668. Platinum actually gained $7 on the month, but that's not much when it went to $917 an ounce. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the industrial metals had quite a good month, surged over the month, and I will include palladium in that, hit another 16-month high, or excuse me, Kerry, a 16-year high. Right. At 978 for a 5.4% gain. Copper had a very nice month as it went below $3 in September, I said it couldn't stay very long below $3. It did not. It consolidated in the low 290 range and then went up, up and away, touched 322 as the specs came in. It fell off by the end of the month, closed at 310, but that's still a 6% gain for a three-year high. And we should also note that zinc hit a 10-year high over the month and lead hit a 7-year high on the month. So very strong industrial metal sector as the incipient bull market for commodities. And you notice I still have called it incipient because copper still hasn't got up to the point where projects are going to be committed to. It needs a $3.50 price for that. Well, but overall, very good month for the metals, industrial metals.
If copper keeps going up like that, it's going to be worth your time to go out and buy nickels, right?
Well, I continue to hoard nickels. So every too. Nickel I got gets put into a money roll someplace.
Hey, and let's go back, illustrate platinum versus palladium. Platinum is at 917, closed the month. Palladium, 978. There is something really anomalous about that number because platinum.
We've talked about that before.
But it's
we might
worse.
As well talk about those metal ratios right now. Platinum to gold remains at or near historic lows at 0.72. Platinum to palladium hit 0.94. Lost, 4% over the month.
Yeah.
Very anomalous. We haven't seen that since for 16 years. That will not continue, I do not think, for a very long time.
I think there's a warning signal here. I don't know what it is yet, but when we look back in retrospect, we're going to look at that ratio, and that's going to tell us, explain something very important that's going to happen in the future. I'm not making any predictions. I'm just telling you, that number is so anomalous and so out of whack because we've talked like platinum is the better catalyst. Platinum has investment demand more than
it's a precious metal. Yeah. You know, in my mind, it's the second most important precious metal, way above silver. And anyway, time to hoard platinum has been for a while.
Something
buy platinum,
on.
Folks.
Something is amiss. When you see an anomaly like that, that's like that's the equivalent of backwardation when you see
the market. That's an interesting analogy. Yeah. Let's go on to the oils here. That's the story of the month, Kerry.
Oh, absolutely. Well, besides Bitcoin, it certainly is. So our WTI is a little, quite a jolt forward. Huh?
Yeah, both oils had very nice month. This is 2 months in a row. WTI closed at 54.38. We haven't seen prices like this since when the crash came in. I'm looking at our numbers here. Since early August of 2015, since we've seen oil prices above $54.
Mm-hmm.
And really has been the story this month. OPEC indicates they're going to continue production cuts. Saudis are trying to do deals with China as U.S. demand for export wanes. Shale patch is doing very well at plus $50 oil. Rig counts actually are still dropping a bit from their July highs, which makes the markets less worried that U.S. shale is going to come flooding in. And really what's one of the main drivers with WTI has to be exports. We're up to almost 2 million barrels a day right now. I've seen forecasts by 2019, 2020, 4 million barrels of oil. U.S. is essentially energy balanced right now in terms of exports of this and that versus imports of this and that. Bear in mind, it is a world market, so we always import oil because we need to feed our heavy oil refineries in the Gulf Coast, and we need to get rid of some of our light crude to other refineries in the world. LNG, even though it's there's a glut of it worldwide. Increasingly, folks in Eastern Asia want our LNG because our gas prices are low, et cetera. Meanwhile, Brent, $7 arbitrage. Brent to WTI is closed at $61.37, up almost 7% over the month. Henry Hub did not do very well, closed at $2.90, down 11 cents with a warm weather forecast. And meanwhile, the laggard once again becomes the uranium. It's been 5 months range bound between $20 and $21 in the uranium patch. Basically, no news is bad news, or no news is no news, really. So that price is stuck in purgatory right now.
Yeah, I find the Henry Hub story interesting because we're in November. All right, we're getting to home heating season and the price is dropping, which normally it's going to go up this time of the year, Mickey, or a lot of years it goes up. I wouldn't say normally.
Well, yeah, normal. Most years it does.
It goes up like last year. Last year was up 2.4% in October, 8.6 in November, 15.5 in December. Now we're seeing it go down. Well, maybe the market can predict the weather after all. Let's see if this is a warm winter in the Northeast and the Northern states.
Yeah, it's not. It's the weatherman giving you a month and 2 month forecast, and that's what's holding the price in that gas. Now we'll see. I don't trust my weatherman any more than I trust any banker that acts as a middleman on my transactions.
Or a stockbroker, too, for that matter. They all have one thing in common. No matter what happens in reality, they get paid, right? They're not sharing any losses.
The wealth management types do, but, I use full service brokers for my trading, and I really only use full service brokers to manage my trades. I don't tell them. They don't tell me when to trade or how to trade or what to buy or sell, but I use them for their acumen in trading and get me a penny or two here pays the brokerage commission.
Yeah. Hey, well, they know better than to try to tell you what to do, Mickey. So,
well, I don't know. It's my opinion that if you don't go out drinking with your broker after the market closes, you probably shouldn't be your broker. Your broker should be a good friend of yours. So make sure I find brokers I like and I make them my friends.
That's a good thing. So not much really with the other ratios. We kind of covered the important one, which is platinum to palladium, which is at 0.94. The rest, silver, gold is at 76. Still looking like something's going to happen with silver, right? I mean, at some point here, that's a high ratio. That normally
it is a high ratio. It occurs about between 70 and 80, I think, about something on the order of 10% of the time. So it is somewhat anomalous. That ratio will correct at some point. So anyway, that's about it for the month, Kerry.
All right. That's it, Mickey. So find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. His Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. We're at financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up to both of our newsletters. They're free. There's a lot of useful info there. And our Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. Our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Mickey, we will pick up where we've left off next month.
As per usual, Kerry, I look forward to it.